Deb. How you doing?
I'm fine. This is, it's been so long since we've chatted.
I know, right?
Well, you warned me that this, that misdirection was coming. You did tell me, and I have been anxiously awaiting it, and I am so happy it landed in my lap. What a different film for you than what we have seen. And I love it.
I'm glad. That's great. Made my day.
I mean, on every level, Kevin. Number one, your cast. You've got Grillo. You've got Olga. Oliver. Olga, I still remember her first English-speaking film, and I did a one-on-one sit-down with her. And to see where she's come through action over the years is fantastic. And of course, Frank is just beyond reproach. Frank is going to be a snarky delight no matter what you give him. And Oliver is wonderful. So number one, you once again, you have a very contained cast here. More so than I think on any of your other films. It's primarily just the three of them, although we do get Jack and Julie. We have a couple others, and then people just filling up space in the conference, in the gala room. But I love that you keep it so compact, and you are essentially in one location. And then you, which unlike Pig Hill, man, Kevin, this must be, you know, a great relief to work like this with one multi-level location. And you steal Rennie's DP. You steal Maddie.
Yeah.
How did you pull that off to steal Maddie away from Rennie and bring him in for this? Because the look of this film, you've never done anything like this before. It's that the beautiful shades of the inky blue-black that just wash everything. It metaphorically, you're cloaking the cloak and dagger heist that's going on and all the noir secrets underneath there. You celebrate with moonlight coming through those floor-to-ceiling windows. Break this down for me, because this is just new for you, and I am thrilled.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, you know, first of all, I got to start with Oliver, because Oliver was the one that produced this movie from the ground up, and most people call themselves producers, but Oliver is a true producer. He put every piece together. He brought in Olga and Frank. He got the script. He introduced me to Maddie. I mean, everything. Kudos to Oliver for this movie. And working with Maddie was amazing. I mean, we hit it off right. I was talking to a lot of different DPs. We shot this in Serbia, so I couldn't bring someone from the States. So I was talking to Serbian DPs, and Oliver worked with him on Bricklayer, and so I took a Zoom with him. And what I liked about him is, you know, we like the same movies and things like that, but he liked the emotional core of the script. It really spoke to him, the ending. And I was like, okay, that's great, because, you know, when you talk with a DP, you can talk about look and style and cameras and everything, but you know, again, in the end of the day, it's the emotional core of what's going on with these characters. And that really spoke to him. He said he almost teared up. So I was like, all right, I know I have the right guy. So we just hit it off. And the idea of doing it all handheld almost, which was great, and anamorphic. You know, when you read a script like this, it's contained. So you think, well, you don't really need to do widescreen. But I grew up in the cinemas of the 70s, 80s, and 90s movies. But when I look, so we had a kind of vintage look to it as well with the lenses that we used. And, yeah, the idea that these characters are operating in the dead of night, so they don't really turn on lights. There's nothing. It's very, you know, dark. And there's different colors of dark, right? There's black. There's blue. There's mixtures. And so we wanted to make this as like the house is another character into itself. So we wanted to make this movie very sleek and slick and still, you know, handheld, because you're with the characters. So I want to put the audience inside these rooms with these characters and what's going on. And I've always loved, you know, high drama, you know, plays, you know, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, Zeus Story, things like that. That the script reminded me of that. And it was the challenge if I can really ratchet up the tension and do it. And you know, there's horror elements to this, but I love horror, but there's a lot of different shades that I want to do as a filmmaker. mm-hmm. Nicholas Winding Refn, who I love, and David Fincher, you know, and Michael Mann, you know, those are the directors I really like to do a movie like this and to work with this cast. And these characters brought these characters to life. It was so much fun.
Well, I have to say, I mean, I love the fact that I love all the inky blues and blacks, the different shades that we get, which really is very similar to working in a black and white world, in a true noir world from the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s.
Yeah.
And you and Maddie make the most of negative space. And because of the lighting that he's designed, things like a jet black gun may go unnoticed.
Yeah.
We'll get a close-up, a quick close-up, a floor level. And this is where you guys excel with your blocking and the fact that you're giving us some flat-on-the-floor shots that you only get if somebody's down there on the floor with the camera and their cheek pressed to the floor to get some of these shots. And, of course, the way that you're dutching, especially in the bedroom, and you've got Frank there, and always Olga as Sarah. Sarah is, she's the one in play. She holds all the cards. And this is where your metaphor is really strong, and also in building your tension, because she's the one with all the secrets. And we don't realize that until we're probably about, I'd say maybe 21 minutes in, 29 minutes in, particularly when Oliver's character, Jason, finds things in a dresser drawer. And that's when everything just explodes. And this is where your work with Ryan, again, you can't do a film without Ryan as your editor. I'm sorry.
Ryan's great.
You can't. But this is where your editing is so key, as we're cutting back and forth to the digital clock that David keeps looking at. So we know time's a factor here. Something is up, and it just builds the tension even more. And we cut to little things like a knife or a blood pool or the gorgeous reflections in that flooring. My God, Kevin, the house being a character and the shine on the floor and what the camera is reflecting back up, stunning. You get some real money shots there, which begs the question, as you said, that house is a character in the film. Did you build this up? Did you find this place? Is Serbia the new place of gorgeous architecture?
Well, you know, there were a lot of different homes we looked at, and we found this house. And what was interesting is, you know, in the script, there were a lot of things that, you know, hearing through walls and things like that. And I knew whatever house we would get, we'd have to tailor the script to the house. So like in the script, the swimming pool was outside, a big fight outside in the swimming pool. The swimming pool was inside the house, the bottom floor. So there were things that we had to, challenges that we had to change. But when I saw this house and the sexy modern vibe to it, and it felt like David would live here and he would own this house, that was the one I was like, we've got to shoot it, you know. And Maddie and I worked really hard on, you know, make sure reflections. That was very difficult, you know. And shooting through glass, you know, we have to shoot at night. You know, a lot of these movies, you'd be like, oh, let's tint the house, we'll shoot it during the day. Not this one. This was a pure glass house, and so you had to shoot it at night, and that provided different challenges. But once I saw this house, I knew that was our movie. You know, that was what we were looking for, that modern, steely look, you know, that I want to give it to, like I said, the movies like Michael Mann and, you know, David Fincher and all that. And then you throw in these great performances, you know, and these characters and what's going, and they're at each other's throat constantly through the whole movie. And using that clock as time, and real time, and that's why I shot it handheld, because I want that immediacy, that everything's going down right now, right then, and putting the audience right there with the characters.
Shooting it handheld, definitely the way to go in this one. And had I seen this house, I would have been jumping up and down right there with you. Yes, we have to shoot here. We have to shoot here.
Yeah.
And yeah, people don't realize it's very, very tricky when you're shooting through glass, when you're trying to get reflection of glass, and then creating moonlight. Because obviously you didn't have a full moon the entire time you were shooting at night.
Yeah.
So that you did have to bring in some lighting to manufacture. But really visually tricky. Very tricky. But you also set up with all that glass, with a glass house, you set this up beautifully because it looks like we're seeing everything. But at the same time, you're playing with the negative space within the house. And we're not seeing everything. And we certainly are not seeing everything that's going on with Sarah. Even poor Jason doesn't know what's going on with Sarah.
Yes.
And when we do get a reveal, how challenging was it for you and Ryan to bring us up to build that tension until we do get to that explosive reveal scene where we find out the truth of what's going on? And even then, we aren't sure of the truth, because who's lying and who's playing who?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that was the whole talk we had is basically, you know, we got to ratchet the tension. We do a slow burn in the opening, and then you start getting into the world. And once they get into the house, everything just starts going haywire, especially when he shows up and everything. So the idea is that these close-ups that we do, if you look at the movie, you know, we do these kind of wide shots, then I start moving in closer and closer. And at the end of the movie, when everything, like you say, who's telling what, you've got these really tight shots. And I love these tight shots. You know, we're going like 100mm lens, you know, getting right up there and just seeing every little thing, you know. And that's, again, back to the movies that we talk about, you know, 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And that's shooting on anamorphic and getting the face fills that frame. And if you want to get tension, you do tight shots. And a face, nothing can substitute a face, you know, for me. It's all in the eyes and what's going on there. And so, you know, and we're in a small room, so it's like, what are you going to do? You know, so, again, pulling the page out of Hitchcock and just, you know, tension and what you see and what you don't see, you know, and what you hear. We worked really hard on the audio sound design for this movie, especially that third act, what happens, you know, and it becomes kind of this hellish world that they're in, you know, that she brought onto herself, you know. So the house was a character, and I knew we had to get an amazing house, because we're in the whole, this whole movie takes place in it. So you can't let the audience get bored, right? So you have to have something that's just as good as these characters that you're having on screen. The house is a character.
You know, and something else that really works for you well here, and I'm just tickled that you went this route. We are so used to seeing Olga glammed up, no matter what film she's in. Here, she is anything but glammed up. There's no false eyelashes. There's no lipstick. She is, and she's still beautiful. Plain.
Yep.
Olga's beautiful.
Yep. Natural beauty, yes.
But the fact that we really see her so emotionally raw, and it's reflected. That's her natural state. Whatever this pain is that she's carrying, she's not masking it. And I just so commend you for going with the natural, minimal, no makeup look on her, because it just adds so many layers to Sarah.
Absolutely. And if you're going to go rob a place or whatever, you're not going to be glammed up, you know. So again, keeping that emotional core, and what really would happen with these characters if they did this, you know. And that was always in front of my mind. I know we're going to make it look good, we're going to make it cinematic and everything, but at the end of the day, it's about this emotional core, this thread that these characters share, and you got to be true to that. So I'm glad you like that, because I was really happy. I loved the haircut we had with her, like the whole thing. It's just a different look from her from other movies. It stands out for sure.
And she looks great with bangs. She really does.
Great.
Now, you have another cast member here that is really part of the heart of this film, of this story. And that is that poor bedraggled stuffed dog.
Yeah.
How How different. Now, I know I have a poor, bedraggled pink teddy bear that I've had since the day I was born. So he's almost 68 years old. And he looks damn fine. But I know how difficult it is when you have to find something that has that lived-in, lifelong look of a stuffy that has been loved so dearly, but still so cared for. How challenging was it to find the proper stuffed dog for this film?
Well, you know, again, the Serbian production was fantastic on this movie, and they would bring me a lot of different choices, and I think we had like six or seven different things. And I don't, you know, Deb, again, when I make movies, I just go with my gut. Mm-hmm. When I saw the Bob, the one, I was like, that's it, you know? I just feel like, I don't know, it just spoke to me, you know? And I showed it to Olga, and she was like, yes. So I was like, great. So and, that was it, you know?
And he looks like a Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the floppy ears. But I love the fact that instead of these multiple locations, you've got the one location happening here. For you as a director, do you have a preference whether you're shooting something like Pig Hill with multiple locations or something as contained as this is? Willy's Wonderland was contained to a degree, but not like Misdirection.
Yeah. You know, it's all on the story and the script and what these characters are going through. So, you know, with Pig Hill, that's what that story demanded. And then same with Willy's, you're trapped in a Pizza Fun Land for kids. Right. So with this, you're trapped in this house with these characters and the idea that that house is a character and Willy's is a character. Right.
Yeah.
And with Pig Hill, those locations are characters too, especially with Swill's cage.
So oh God, yeah.
I look at locations. I'm very in tune on locations. It's always about that space you're putting those actors in to make believe that they're these characters and what's going on. So, you know, that's what these scripts, you know, they called for. You know, so I'm really happy with the house and the look of Misdirection. Though we shot this movie in 15 nights, and
wow.
Yeah, it was just, it was a wild time, but it was great. I enjoyed the heck out of it.
And as action heavy as this film is, and we're not talking, you know, guns blazing action. We're talking man on man, woman on man action, hand to hand combat contained within a house. So that is beyond time intensive.
Yeah, I love the primal vibe to it,
yeah.
Right? Like it's primal, and it's just jealousy and anger and all these dark emotions that kind of take over you, and you know, it just ratchets up all what these characters, and there's a lot of gray in it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every character thinks they're doing the right thing, they're the hero of their own story, okay? And so, you know, putting the audience now, what would you do if you were in this scenario, in this case, and do you think this person's telling the truth or whatever? That was what's exciting about doing this movie.
Look, Bob is the hero. No matter what, Bob is the hero.
Yeah.
Let's just cut to the chase there. So, one last question for you, Kev. Are we going to talk again later this year? Anything coming after Misdirection?
Yeah, I'm working on a movie called Driver with Jeremy Piven and Colleen Camp and Caitlin Kemp. And that movie's it's more of a throwback in a way to Willy's. It's about a limo driver in the 90s who picks up a group of kids going to prom, and let's just say he doesn't take them to the dance. But it's a fun movie. I'm working on that right now.
Ooh. Well, I can't wait for that one, and a throwback to a Willy's kind of film. But you really, you're as adept at something like Misdirection as you are with Willy's, The Accursed, Pig Hill. You are proving time and again you can do it all, Kevin.
Thank you. You made my day with that. Thank you so much, Deb. I really appreciate it.
And you know, if you sucked, I would tell you that too.
I know you would.
Kevin, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank
I know you.
You
have to run.
You,
it's been wonderful as always chatting with you.
Absolutely. You take care. We'll talk soon.